Okay, so this week is Parshas Mishpatim. And Parshas Mishpatim is a very busy parasha with many mitzvahs, one after another. Okay, just some berlach we said over in the past, some new ones. The Torah speaks about a ganef. A ganef who steals, the Torah tells us the ganef has to pay kefal. The pasuk tells us right before, shulishi, the ganef pays the double, the ganef has to pay kefo. We know that by a shor and a said, the din is different, it's the din of dal of the hay. If he steals a shor and a said, he shechs it, he doesn't just pay kefo, but he has to go in and pay back 4 times or 5 times as much by a shor and a said, pasuk on mezayin, ki igna vish shor a sell to vachoy machara, he shechs it or he sells it, Chamisha, Vaka, Yishalim, Tachas, Ashar, the Abratzayin, Tachas, Aseh. 5 Baka for shechting Ashar, or selling it, and 4 sheep for stealing Aseh. And Rashi brings down the Gemara, Omer, Rabbi Yochanan, and Zakkai. Why is it that for Aseh, he only pays 4 sheep, and for an ox, he pays back 5? What's the cheshbon, 4 or 5? Says Rabbi Yochanan, and Zakkai, Chos, Hamokoim, Al Kavoydon, Shabriyos. Hashem has Rachmonis, for the COVID of people. Shor shahalich beragov, a shor walks on his own 4 feet. For on his baza boy haganef lenoisai, the ganef's not embarrassed to carry it up seifai on his shoulder, meshalem hay, he pays 5. But a seh, shenisai, ok seifai, he's embarrassed, he has to carry it on his shoulder, meshalem dalit, he pays 4, hayov on his baza boy, since he's embarrassed. Amr Meir, a Meir has another pshat, come and see how great is the koyach of melacha. A shah that is mevato from doing its work, you have to pay back 5. A seh, he's not mevato from work, he only pays 4. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who are we speaking about? A ganef.
Yeah.
It's ganef. Torah is chos, a kvoid on shel briyos. Torah is rachmonis on the kovid of a ganef. Torah is rachmonis on the kovid of a ganef. That even though he's a ganef, even though he's an oiva aveira, even though he's caught and he has to pay, Tayra Chos, Tayra Az Rachmanis on every Yid. Kavachayma, how we have to have Rachmanis on everybody else. How we have to have Rachmanis on somebody else. And we all the time rationalize, that person, Aganish. That person, does this Aveira. I don't have to have any respect for him. And Tayra tells us just the opposite. Chos, al kavod on shel briyos. You have to have Rachmanis on kavod on briyos. And we go through our day, so much, We're so busy during the day, we're not careful. A person has to be careful. Because have rachmanis on the covered shabriyos. Simcha bunim peshischa said over that even from a ganef you could learn musa. Even from a ganef you could learn words of musa. He would say over there are 3 things you can learn from a ganef, and 3 things you can learn from a young child, a young baby. You can learn 3 things. What could you learn from a ganef? A ganef you could learn that no matter what the weather is outside, whether it's rain, it's snow, hot, a ganef, he finds his opportunity, the weather is not going to hold him back. A ganef goes
the weatherman.
Any time of day, any weather outside, the ganef has his chance, the time is right, he's able to strike, the ganef goes. 1 mile the ganef has. A ganef, even if he's not successful, he wasn't successful once, it doesn't stop him. He tries again, the ganef tries and tries until he's successful. And the 3rd thing we learn from the ganef is, even for a small ganef, even something small, if he has the opportunity to chop it and steal it, he'll take it. He says, it's a musa for us. We're not ganefim. We're elachayidin. But should we at least learn from the ganef? The Torah has rachmanis on a ganef. We can learn from a ganef. The weather shouldn't stop us. Time of day shouldn't stop us. We come out to learn. Sometimes we're not successful, we come to learn, it didn't work out so good, we came to shul. Not everything works 100% of the time, but it can't stop us. And even to do a small mitzvah, even to come learn for a short while, a person can't come the whole time. A person can't do a big mitzvah. Chaparai in a small mitzvah, chaparai in a few minutes of learning. I always say, I once had, I remember in 11th grade, my Rebbe was Rabbi Rosen, in Mir Yeshiva in 11th grade, and we finished learning 5 minutes before the official time. So we all said, okay, Rebbe, 5 minutes. Let us have recess. Let us go. 5 minutes. Yeah. So he said just the opposite. If you're machshiv the 5 minutes, and you want the 5 minutes for recess, take those 5 minutes and use it to learn. Let me learn for those 5 minutes, because the shows the 5 minutes is chashiv. Chaparan the 5 minutes. Who was it? Reuven Bengis, I think. made a sim on Shas from all those 5 minutes. By Chassis, when he went to a Chassana, he had a Gemara, and he made a sim from all the Masechtas that he learned waiting by Chassanis that he was by. He had his own starim, and he had I think every month or every few days, whatever the Chajim was, he made a sim. And 1 week he made an unofficial sim, not in a schedule. So the Mishpacha asked him, what happened? So he said, this is my Chassana, the Chassana sim on Shas. From all the Chassanis that I was by, instead of sitting around and wasting my time, I used to learn a few minutes here and a few minutes there, it all adds up. And from a young child, says the Simcha Ben Bishischa, you can learn 3 things. A child is usually happy. Young children run around, they're always sameach, they're always happy. Children are always busy. Watch children, they're always busy. It's not with this, but something else. Children don't sit still. They're running around, they're always busy. And third of all, when a child wants something and he doesn't have it, he cries. He says, a person has to be Bishischa. People, we have to be busy. I seek the mitzvahs. And if we need something, we cry. Who do we cry to?
Hashem.
We cry to Hashem. Call out to Hashem, and Hashem answers our tefillos. Pasuk says, after Shilishi, in Perichof Beis, Pasuk Vav, Ki yitan ish al reyehu kesef akelem lishma. If a man gives his friend kesef, silver, money, or kelem to watch, v'gunav mibeis ha'ish. And it's stolen from the house of the shomer. It was stolen. So im yimotzi aganef, if we find the ganef, Yishalim Shnaim, he pays back double, he pays kefil. Next pasuk, Imuha Yimotzi Aganif, but if we don't find the Ganif, the Nikrav Barabayis Elho Elohim, Barabayis speaks into Bezdin and he swears that he was not a Pesheya, and he does not have to pay, Imuha Shach Yodoi Bimlaches Riehu, provided he did not use the Pikodon that was given to him to watch. The Shomer is not allowed to use the Pikodon that he was given to watch. I know we said this over many times. The Chassam Sof is Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, Taish to Pasik. Ki yiten ish el reyeyo. Ish refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem ish mulchama. Ki yiten ish. Hashem gives el reyeyo to his friends. Who are the friends of Hashem? Klal Yisrael. We're called reyim lamakom, we're called friends of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every one of us kesef ha-kelim. Hashem gives us parnasa and the kelim that we need to survive in this world, a body and a house and clothing and kesef. Lishmar, to watch B'Kedusha. Hashem gave us whatever we have to watch B'Kedusha, to act properly, to behave properly, to use it properly. But unfortunately, what happens? The gunav mibeis ha'ish. Along comes the Yetzirah, and he steals it away, and he chaps us away. And what we're supposed to use for good, we don't always use for good. We end up doing averus, using it the wrong way, end up hurting people. It's not used properly. The gunav mibeis ha'ish. Says the Pasuk, Im Yimotzei Aganef. If he doesn't do tshuva, a person doesn't do tshuva, and he comes to Ra'il Ma'emes after 120 years as a ganef, he didn't return what he stole. Yishalim Shnayim. He's paid back. Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes him for his averus. A person is punished in this world, is punished in the next world. He's punished for the averus that he did. But Im Lo Yimotzei Aganef. But if the ganef is not found, a person did tshuva. A person was chayzen, had charata, and changed his ways. Then the pasuk says, "V'nikrav barabayis elokim." Then he becomes close to Hashem, like the Gemara says, "V'makom shibali tshuva imdim ein tzaddikim gemurim imdim." In the place where bali tshuva stand, even tzaddikim gemurim can't stand. A person who's about tshuva has a milos chus over tzaddikim. He went through the nisyonis, he went through the challenges of life, and he was able to overcome them. So, in one aspect, on a very high level, as opposed to the tzaddik who never went through those challenges or those nizyonis. But there's one catch. As long as he didn't hurt somebody else, he didn't take from somebody else. Tshuva helps, but if he went ahead and he was shalach yodoi, he stole, he took, he hurt somebody else, for that tshuva doesn't help, actually ratzes chaveiroi. Until he appeases his friend, and his friend is meichel. So Taish is a Masan Adar Apostle, Keetan Isha Re'eh. Kosh Baruch gives us what we need to survive in this world, and our job is to watch it, the Kedusha V'Tahara. Im Kesef Talves Ami. Pasuk says in Perichof Beis, Pasuk Chof Dalid, we lend Kesef, a mitzvah to lend money. A person needs money, a mitzvah to lend money. And Rashi goes through the Seyda Advarim, who comes first? Mishpacha comes first, then people in your area, in your ircha, and then others, Klal Yisrael, and the Eretz Yisrael, there's rules and regulations how to lend out, how to give out tzedakah. Chazal tells us, tzedakah tatzel mimavos. Tzedakah saves a person from Misa. Says the Chidah, if you take the word Kesef, how do you spell the word Kesef? Chof, a Samach, and a Fe. Spell it out Mole. In other words, spell out each letter. Spell the letter Chof. How do you spell the letter Chof? A Chof and a Pei. Chof and Pei together. Chof. Spell out the word Chof. What's the gematria of Chof and Pei? It's an easy one. 20 and 80 is 100. So the Chof is 100. Samach. How do you spell out the letter Samach? A Samach, a Mem, and a Chof. It's 60, 40, 20, 120. So far, either together, you have 100 from Chof, 120 from the Samach is 220. The next letter is a Pei. A Fei. How do you spell Fei? Pei and a Hei. Pei and a Hei. It's 85. If you add it all together, you get 305. What's the gematria of the word kapara? Chof pei rei shei, 305. A remez, that kesef, if it's used correctly, it's used the right way, mechaper is a kapara for a person. The word seh, a sheep, is also 305. Shin, a sin, and a hay is 305. A seh is brought for a carbon. A carbon is also mechaper for a person. 305. So kesef, mechaper for a person, just like a carbon. A person uses the kesef that Hashem gave him the proper way, so the kesef is mechaper, the kesef brings about a kapara. Pasuk tells us, Pasuk tells us, Acharei Rabim Lahatois. Perichov Kimma Pasuk Beis, Loisia Acharei Rabim Lerois, Loisana Riv, Lintois Acharei Rabim Lahatois. Tomorrow morning we go after Roiv, on a Bezdin, we follow the majority of the Dayanim, Acharei Rabim Lahatois, we go after the Roiv. Everyone knows the story, but once in a while it's always good to say a story for a little chizik. That one.
You said everybody knows.
Everyone knows it. The Baal Shem Tov Mimichlstadt, not the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Baal Shem Tov Mimichlstadt was... Okay. When he was a young child, he was already known as an Eloi, as a prodigy in Eloi, and they say over the following story, a famous story. The Duke in his town heard about this wonder child, and he wanted to meet this child. And he heard the child was brilliant. So he sent an invitation to the child to come to his estate by himself, without any escort. And he gave the child a time to come, and when he should come to the estate. When the child arrived, the Duke told all his servants to disappear. There shouldn't be anybody there to guide the child, to help him find the Duke. And he wanted to see if on his own, the child could maneuver and go through the big estate and all the rooms and find the Duke. And he comes to the estate at the appointed time, and he expected someone to be there to greet him, to bring him in. Veineno, there's nobody around. And he stands there looking around, and the Duke is watching from a window to see what's going to happen. And lo and behold, within 5 minutes, there's a knock on the room where the Duke is. The little boy is standing outside, and the Duke opens the door and says, "How'd you find me? How'd you find me so fast? There was no one here to take you, and there's hundreds of rooms, and how'd you find me so fast?" So the boy said, "It was very easy. I saw there was nobody outside. I realized you're probably testing me to see if I'll find a way. I looked, and I noticed there was one window where the curtain was pulled tightly closed, and all the other windows, the curtains were wide open. So I figured, why was the curtain closed? Because you were hiding behind the curtain. You want me to see you? And he found the room. So the Duke said to him, "You're so smart. Let me ask you a question. What would have been if I would have sent my servants out to greet you, and one servant would have said, 'The Duke's in that room,' and one servant would have said, 'The Duke's in that room,' another one would have said, like the first one, here, and they would... And he would have gotten different opinions where I'm hiding. How would you know where to go? How would you know where to find me?" So the boy said, "It's simple. Acharei Rabim Lahatois. We know, the Torah tells us, we follow the majority. We follow Roiv. So if you had 10 servants, and 6 told me you're in one room, and 4 told me you're somewhere else, I'd go boss the Roiv. I'd follow the majority, and I'd go to the room where most of the servants said you are." So the Duke said to him, "Oh, it says in your Torah to follow the majority? So tell me, why don't you follow our religion? Why don't you become like us? Most of the world is not Jewish. Most of the world are goyim. Why don't you become like us? Acharei Rabim Lahatois, follow the majority." And the child gave a brilliant answer. He said to the Duke, "I'm standing right here in front of you. Even if all of your servants came and told me that you're not here, you're in a different room, I wouldn't listen to them. Because I'm standing right in front of me and I know you're here. Mm-hmm. The only time you follow the Roy, if you go to the majority, is when we have a suffix. We're in doubt what to do. We're in doubt what to do, so you listen to the majority. If I see you sitting here, everyone else can tell me you're somewhere else, but I know you're here.
Unbelievable.
Charles Holden, the same is true. You know why I'm a Yid? You know why I'm Jewish? I'm a Yid because I know the truth. And the world could tell me whatever they want. And the majority of the world could scream with their false opinions and their false shittas. But I know the truth. And when we know the truth, we stay. We don't follow the Roy. There's only a doubt. And in my mind, there's not a doubt at all that Hashem created the world and Hashem shows B'nai Yisrael, gave us the Torah, and I believe in Hashem. And that's a story they say over. A famous mice. Va'avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem. It says by Shvi, right before Shvi, Perik Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chofei, Va'avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem. You should serve Hashem. Ubeirach eslach mechaves mimechem. Hashem will bench your bread and your water. Va'asiroisi machalo mikibrecha. And I remove all sickness from among you. And all the Mepharshim Meir Stakasha, the Pasuk starts off by Lashon Rabim and switches to Lashon Yochid. Va'avadatem is Lashon Rabim. You should serve, many of you. A tzibur should serve Hashem. Uveyach eslach mecha. And I'll bless your bread, v'esmei mecha, your water, v'asi raisi macha v'kabrecha, is Lashon Yochid. Your bread, your water. Not lach mechem, their bread, mei mechem, their water, but your bread and your water. Why does the Pasuk switch from Lashon Rabim to Lashon Yochid? Usually the Pasuk is consistent. Ayin Pan Matayra, many answers are given. One of the famous answers, the Kotzka gives a famous answer, and the Kotzka says, when it comes to serving Hashem, it comes to Torah and Tefillah, that we do B'tzibur. When it comes to Avodah, that's Hashem. It comes to davening, dominion, we do B'tzibur, it's the Rabbim together. It comes to learning, we learn together. A person who's part of a tzibur accomplishes much more than a person who's by himself. When it comes to Avodah Hashem, being by yourself and being b'tzibur is a world of a difference. It changes the whole tefillah. Tefillah b'tzibur is not the same as a tefillah b'yochid. Learning b'tzibur is not the same as learning b'yochid. Mashenkim, when it comes to eating, lach mecha v'esmei mecha, your bread and your water, it comes to eating, my nafkamin, if I eat b'tzibur, I eat b'yochid. Your eating is not going to help my eating. My eating is not going to help your eating. Whatever you drink and you eat is going to satisfy you. Whatever I drink will satisfy me. When it comes to Torah and tefillah, fakert, it's a whole different tefillah. I can't have a tefillah but tzibur if I'm alone. I can't have learning with a chavrusa, with a chevru, with a shir if I'm alone. It changes the whole learning. We all know we could learn by ourselves. It's not the same as learning and you have a koil and you have a discussion back and forth and you have, it's a whole different learning and the Torah comes out a lot clearer when you learn b'tzibur, then learning by oneself. Therefore, it says, "B'loshen Rabim b'vadatem." When you serve Hashem b'rabim, the tzibur. When it comes to eating, your bread and your water, that's private. You eat like a man, you eat by yourself. There's no need to eat b'tzibur, make a whole to do. Uverich eslach mecha v'esmei mecha, bless your bread and your water. Say over Meisa, during World War I, there were a lot of Yidden that were displaced and were in Golis, running around from one place to another. So the Reb Chaim Briska and others got together and they wanted to start a fund and arrangements to help out all the Yidden that were displaced. And they arranged for food and for blankets and for places for people to stay in order to help all the people that were displaced because of the war. There was one Rav who came over and he said, "Why are you so concerned with the Gashmis? About the food and the clothing? We should start a fund to collect Hashmishei Kedusha. Not everybody has a tefillin, the talaisim, everybody has svarim. Let's start a fund to collect money for Tashmishei Kedusha. They should have tefillin and tzitzis and whatever they need to do mitzvahs. Why are you so worried about the gashmias and not about the ruchnias?" And Reb Chaim Briska answered brilliantly and he said, "Because when it comes to mitzvahs, one pair of tefillin could be used by everybody. We could pass around one pair of tefillin. He could wear it, and he could wear it. When it comes to talis, he could wear it. He could come through shreifer, one lulav, one esrig. When it comes to food, one challah, one loaf of bread is not going to make it for everybody. Everybody has to have their own. You have to have your own food to eat. His eating is not going to satisfy me. My eating won't satisfy somebody else. It's more important," said Reb Chaim, "we take care of the gashmias of people because everybody has their own needs when it comes to gashmias. When it comes to the ruchnias, one pair of tefillin can be passed around. One sefer can be passed around. When it comes to the ruch gashmias, it has to be, everyone has their own needs. When it comes to serving Hashem, you can have avoid that can be done. We could share. A rabbi could serve Hashem. When it comes to eating, it's lach mecham mecha. Everybody has their own needs. Everybody needs their own bread and their own water. There was a yid. His name was Reb Moshe Shuster Zatzal. Reb Moshe Shuster did something that none of us would have the courage to do. Sukkot time, he never bought his own dalad minim. Never bought his own lulav of esrig hadassim and aravos. Instead, he took the money that he saved for the four minim and he gave it to aniyim to have simchas yom tov. And he would walk around Sukkot, and when people would ask him where his dalad minim are, he would say, my dalad minim are challah, yayin, fish, and flesh. My four minim are the challah, the wine, the fish, and the meat that the aniyim have for yom tov. Those are my dalad minim for yom tov.
Makes sense.
Dalad minim? I could use somebody else's. I don't have to buy my own. It's a mitzvah. But when there's a need, there are need, they need food for yom tov.
First day.
So, after someone else uses it. Matana menaschah achzah, shema matana. No problem. We could use it. Plenty. Until recently, in Europe, stores, they had one for the whole town. 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 But here, to us, it's a foreign concept. Four minim, of course I have to have four minim. Not only four minim. Chalo, yayin, fish and flesh, that's in dalal minim. Okay. We're not in that madrega. For us, we buy the four minim. But not at someone else's expense. Person has to know how to balance the ruchnis and the gashmis. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would always say, someone else's gashmis is your ruchnis. It's my ruchnis to take care of his gashmis. Make sure that he has what he needs. That's my ruchnis. At the end of the parsha, the pasuk describes Har Sinai. The pasuk tells us, they went up to Har Sinai. Vayomer in Perek Chaf Dalet pasuk Yudbeis. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Alei Alei Ahara. Go up the mountain to me, to Har Sinai, v'yesham, and I'll give you the luchos, ha'even, the Torah, v'hamitzvah, shekasafti l'heiraisom, and the Torah and the mitzvahs. And the Dugma Magad here has a classic marshal. Probably said it all. Says the Dugma Magad, there was once a very poor man, and he lived in a city, and he barely had food to eat. It was dry bread, a little herring, onions. That was it. He didn't have any food to eat. He had a relative who was a big usher, very, very wealthy. And Vayi Hayoyim, the usher is making a wedding, the usher is marrying off a child, and the whole town knew that when this usher makes a wedding, that's going to be a wedding. And it'll be a 7-course meal, a banquet, and it doesn't pay to eat beforehand because the food's going to be delicious, food they never had before. And this Ani is so excited, after all, the usher is his relative, for sure he'll be invited. And in those days, they didn't have the post office like we had today, and they didn't send invitations. But the day of the chasana, the usher would send around his workers, his zavodim, and they'd go knock on the doors of the people that were invited to the wedding. And this ani was so sure that his wealthy relative would invite him to the wedding. After all, they're related. For 2 days, he didn't eat. For 2 days, he didn't eat a thing. He told his wife, I'm not eating anything for 2 days because there's a big feast coming and I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to have a tremendous appetite because I'll never have it again. I'm not eating for 2 days. And he fasted. Day before, and the day of the wedding, he fasts. And he's busy looking out the window and he sees the workers of the usher running around from house to house, knocking on the doors, inviting the people, and he's waiting for his knock to come, and he's waiting and waiting for the knock to come. And they pass by his house once, they pass by his house twice, no one's knocking. It's already starting to get dark outside, and he's getting very thirsty, very hungry, and he sees them not knocking on his door. He says to his wife, I can't take it anymore. I haven't eaten in 2 days, and they're not calling me. They're passing by the house. I need something to eat, quick. She takes an old loaf of bread, stale bread, some onions, garlic, a radish, gives it to him to eat. He drinks down his water, and what do you think happens? As soon as he finishes eating, the knock comes on the door. You're invited to the wedding. All right. And he says, no. My mom's like, all right. I'll go. Of course I'll go. He comes to the chasana and he walks in, fancy banquet hall, all the guests are sitting around. They show him to a seat. The waiter comes with fish and vegetables, fresh fish, and steaming hot vegetables, and it's saying how delicious it tastes. The audience takes one bite, and it tastes like radish. He just ate this radish, has a bitter taste of the radish in his mouth. He can't even eat the fish. All right, next course will be better. They bring out the soup, taste the soup, oh, the garlic, it tastes full of garlic. He just had garlic before he came. finally they bring out roasted lamb and then the mushrooms and the potatoes, the delicious food, and everyone is eating, and it tastes like, oh, the onions. It tastes like onions, you can't eat it. And before he knows it, they clear away the table. And all the guests are ready to leave. And the guests are saying to each other how delicious all the food was. Delicious food, we never had this before. And the onion says, delicious? It tastes like smelly onions and garlic and bitter radish. What was so good about it? And they all look at him, like, what's the matter? This is delicious food. They asked him, what did you eat before? And it comes out that he ate before his stale bread with his radish. So what do you expect, they say to him? If you just ate and you have the bitter taste in your mouth, the sour taste in your mouth of the onions and the radish, taste of the garlic, what do you expect when you taste the real good food? Says the Dumna Magid, that's all of us. Hashem gave us the Torah. The Torah is a feast. The Torah is the banquet. It's sweet. Nothing else lacking in the world. But we have to be ready to eat, ready to digest. But what do we do before we come? What do? We can't hold out. So we give into the Yetzer Hara. We eat a little bit of stale bread. We eat a little bit of the onions. All the tithes of this world. We take a little bite. We take a little bit. We enjoy this world a little bit too much. We take a little bit. And then we come to learn. And we expect to feel the sweetness of Torah. We have a bitter taste of Olam Hazeh, a bitter taste of the Aveiros that we just did in our mouth. The sour taste, the sharp taste of Olam Hazeh in our mouth. We expect to appreciate the sweetness of Torah. Torah is sweet, but we have to be ready for it, be roy for it. If we prepare ourselves properly, then we'll appreciate it, we'll taste very good. But if we come with a sour taste in our mouth, then we can't appreciate it. Baruch Hashem, was zeicher to come together to learn Mitzibur, to learn Barabim. There's nothing sweeter in the world than coming together to learn Barabim. Everybody here could learn by themselves. They could take out the art scroll, on the phone, on the computer, on the internet, whatever it is, we could all learn. Nobody has to come. But, the bottom line is, everybody who comes, myself included, understands that there's a much greater factor in coming together to learn. It's not just coming to learn. It's coming to learn Barabim. Learning Barabim is not the same as learning by Yechidus. It's learning by oneself. But learning Barabim, we strengthen each other, we help each other, we care for each other, we come out with a pshat in the Gemara, sometimes we get a little bit upset, we might answer each other back a little bit sharply, but it's all done in learning, like the Gemara says, even though sometimes Tamidim come fight during learning, when they finish, Nasu Oivim, they're friends with each other, Oivim Zelazah, Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us, that we should taka, be able to continue to learn together, that we should have Yeshua, Chomes, Fulus, Mushtaka, Obi Zaychit, and the Sim Sheikhs who came here, Amen.